So, welcome to my talk. This is about the backlog security problem we found during the last year. My name is Stefan Metzmacher from Summer Team and Cernet. Just a quick agenda of my talk. First, I will tell you about all the security reports we had last year, all the findings, then some details about the backlog-related bugs we had. We introduced some new options, behavior changes because of that. Some information about the coordination with Microsoft regarding the problems and with other vendors. Sadly, we had some regressions, and then there's an outlook for the future where we try to improve things more. So, basically, it started last year in June. We had a report regarding an LDAP denial of service attack problem. This was reported in June, fixed in December. It's a long time between, but I will explain later why that was the case. Then, while looking at it, we found a bug in Vaxilla that was already reported in September 2012. Which had similar problems. This what was fixed then too. Then in June, we got reports regarding some denial of service attacks against the RPC server and the domain controller, Active Directory domain controller. That was basically the initial problem that triggers all the backlog problems later. Then we had a symlink verification problem. This is basically SMB specific. Then in July I found the problem was backlog. The RPC man-in-the-middle attacks, mostly related to the SAMR and LSA protocols. These are the management protocols in Windows domains for user administration and trust administration. The fix was done or released in April 2016, 1 month ago. Then we had in September also an SMB-specific problem regarding snapshots, the previous version under Windows. Then we had a problem when we have SMB client. SMB client can do SMB encryption with modern servers. And when you try to enforce encryption on the client side, you should better also enforce signing in order to prevent man-in-the-middle attacks. Then we found something related to some Microsoft security problem that we needed to fix in SAMR 2. I think this was based on the fact that a user account could change its own account into a higher privileged account. Remote read memory exploit in our LDB database, it's the core of our LDAP backend. The next thing was the NTLM SSP related man-in-the-middle attacks I found. There was also another security problem which was fixed in Windows before, so regarding netlog on spoofing. I will explain more about that later. The next thing was that our LDAP client and server don't enforce integrity protection if we requested it. Our LDAP client libraries didn't do any TLS certificate validation. We found that even if you configure server signing equals mandatory, it wasn't enforced. Then we found that it's better to do integrity protection for SMB client connections, which are used for RPC traffic, basically as transport for RPC. Then in December, we got a report regarding an SMB-related problem where the client could change ACLs on a symlink, and the ACLs were changed on the target instead of the symlink. This is only when the client uses the Unix extensions. Then we had a remote initialized memory bug in our DNS server for the Active Directory domain controller. So that were plenty of security problems we had. The reason for the long delay was we got one report, got the next report 2 weeks later or so, and then thought, okay, let's just bunch them together in order to have just one security release. But then 2 weeks later, the next thing came, and it was delayed and delayed. So in December, we decided to get most of the simple things out of our way and released... It's December 16th. Yeah, then we released, I think, 7 CVEs or something like that. Then after this release, we've got 2 more things reported, the SEL thing you see above, and released these in March in order to get these out of our way. And then we had the really huge one, which includes the backlog problems in April. And yeah, that was the final one, or the latest one.
Those dates were all 2015. Do you mean 2015 or 2016?
Oh, no. Yeah, 2016, sorry. the backlog-related problems, the report about RPC errors. The first thing we got was a denial-of-service problem found at an interop event at Microsoft by Juni Knutin from Synopsys. I think the company was different before.
Codenomicon
was it before. And they basically have a fuzzer which generated random CREP packets and sent
almost
them.
Random.
Sorry?
Almost.
Yes, almost random, yes. And sent them to our RPC server and recrashed. Jeremy did the initial research on that and proposed some patches to fix the actual problem. I took a look at these patches, and then the nightmare began.
So no reviews.
Yes, better. So basically, each day I found a new problem in our RPC server. And in the end, I found about 20 separate problems, mostly denial of service. And then in the middle attacks, there were one really unlikely but potential remote code execution bug on the client side. But the one problem that makes it worse was that we still have 4 RPC implementations, 2 servers and 2 clients. And most of the problems applied to all of them. So we needed to have the fixes 4 times. So, I analyzed and deeply debugged these problems together with Günther. This was a time in August 2015 where we joked, come on, let's have a look at this for a few days before the Storage Developer Conference in the US. and get this fixed and released, and then we have a happy time at the conference. But it turns out that we continue to find problems, and in the end, for this particular bug, we had 94 patches and a completely, almost complete RPC protocol verification test suite, which passes against Windows and now also against the Active Directory-based domain controller, getting all error codes correct for all invalid requests and things like that. One more thing about this this problem is we also found that there are some downgrade attacks, or also used as man-in-the-middle attacks, where the attacker can downgrade an already encrypted connection to an unencrypted connection. And because of that, I thought about what could go wrong. yes, better. in the end, I found that there is the auth level field in the RPC bind, so it's the RPC bind which triggers the authentication, followed by a second alter context request, which is almost the same but with a different name. And these are used to establish a connection which is authenticated, and there the server really doesn't care which value is in the auth level field, which could be connect, which is just authenticated but no integrity or privacy protection, then integrity, so that's much better. All requests need to be integrity protected, or privacy. There you have also encryption and integrity protection. The first finding were that there's just a problem when using RPC over plain TCP/IP and only with some AIR protocol, which is on Windows for user management. And with this, I created a relatively simple man-in-the-middle exploit, which was able to extract the whole Active Directory database, including all passwords, everything. Just without knowing any details of the domain, just sitting there watching traffic. So this is really a complete takeover. And some of the security people commenting on the Batlog website and things like that were disappointed that this is just man in the middle but no remote code execution. But if you have everything from a Windows AD domain, it's basically remote code execution on any computer in the domain, so without any additional security.
Sorry, you said that you were disappointed it was yes. Not remote code execution?
Yes.
Okay. That's somewhere right now in
English. Yeah, sure. so basically the attacker just needs to see the network traffic and can get in. And I guess it's not really unlikely that someone might find an exploit for an unpatched router firmware, so that the router in your network is compromised and can just get everything. In July, Jeremy and I reported that to Microsoft. More about that later. So while fixing our problems, I finally realized that it's not only limited when... So the first thing was that I saw when you do a domain join as a domain controller on Windows, that will, as a client, actively use RPC over IPTCP for the SAMR protocol. And I initially thought that's all that could happen, but thinking a bit more about it is that it can even work with every login on as a administrator on a Windows machine, and it's not limited to some SAMR protocols. As on the client side, and the attacker can just also change the protocol identifier in the RPC packet and route that to the SAMR service. Yeah, basically that is applies to all unprotected RPC transports, IPTCP, and also named pipes without SMB signing. The good thing is that by default on Windows domain controllers, SMB signing is enforced on the server side. So this is not completely a solution for this problem, because some services are also available over IPTCP, but it's not as worse as on Samba. So on Windows, there are most protocols which are available over IPTCP on Windows have extra application level checks to ensure that only integrity protected or privacy protected connections are made in order to prevent these problems. And all these checks were completely missing in Samba. So while working on these two problems, I thought more about it and tried to find ways to get similar problems on other protocols. And I realized that if you do an LDAP connection, you may also get similar problems when you're using NTLM SSP. And in our version of NTLM SSP, which we implement in Samba, there is absolutely no downgrade detection. So a man in the middle can just disable two flags in the exchange between client and server, and downgrade the connection. And at least our LDAP client wouldn't notice it and would just happily use a plain connection and send unencrypted traffic over the network. A bit of research revealed that Microsoft already fixed this problem. I think it was in Windows 2003 or 2008, and we now implement the same. It's basically that we, when we are using real authentication, so no anonymous or guest authentication, we will have a separate checksum over all the packets from the NTLM SSP exchange. And this is then checked by the server. While being there, I found another CVE which were already fixed in Windows. This is about domain members are typically joined to the domain and have a computer account in the domain. And this computer account can be used to have a netlog on secure connection, and that is used to verify the NTLM pass-through authentication against the domain controller. And this basically passes the blob, which is sent between an SMB client or server, just pass the resulting response from the client through this netlog on connection to the domain controller. And there were nothing preventing any attacker to just get this data from the network and use its own domain member account. and also passes to the domain controller. And the domain controller happily gives out the secret session key for the session to the attacker. And yeah, during research, it turned out that Samba is even worse, and we would allow an anonymous attacker to ask for these session keys, just knowing the computer name of the other guy. So basically, there's the NTLM V2, which has some more random stuff in it compared to NTLM V1. So basically, the computer name, domain name, and things like that are part of the checksum blob. And this is then used in the domain controller code in order to find out if the NTLM blob is related to the computer account, which is currently authenticated. So the next thing with the NTLM SSP downgrade attack, it turns out that it's not enough to fix just this. And we also need to have checks on the application layer so that the LDAP client and server verify the authentication backend provides the requested features. So that would also prevent Kerberos replay attacks and not just NTLM attacks. So, similar to the RPC layers where we have four implementations, we have also two LDAP client libraries. One is based on OpenLDAP, so we use the external LDAP library, but then do have some hooks to inject the SSL authentication with NTLM or Kerberos. And we also have a separate self-written LDAP client library. And we needed to fix the things in both. And at the same time, we already had some configure options or configuration options in smb.conf, which were having a default for the client-side connections enforce integrity protection. We are now using this also for the other LDAP client library. Also, the LDAP server is now much stricter and by default only allows integrity or privacy-protected connections. So that was not enough. Looking at it, I realized that if you use LDAPS connections or HTTP for RPC, which is only used by OpenChange or something like that, but it turns out that we happily accept any certificate and don't do any validation. So a man in the middle can just do anything. Yeah, that's fixed now, and as a client, we are now verify as much as possible using all available features of the GNU TLS library we are using. In future, we can improve that even more, but this is much better as what we had before. As I said before, mandatory SMB signing is a good thing, at least on domain controllers. On pure file servers, it's often disabled because of the performance impact. But on the domain controller, you really want to have that. And some tests revealed that it's possible to just use plain connections, even if the server is configured with mandatory signing. So before, mandatory signing just said, tell the client that signing is mandatory, but don't enforce it. So we fixed that. And the other thing is that we had the default for an Active Directory domain controller not correctly implemented. It was designed to be mandatory by default, but some logic bug disabled it by default. Then, in order to avoid some of the attacks, it's better to use integrity protected SMB connections for RPC. So what we did is, on the client side, we introduced new options in order to use different defaults for the RPC connections relative to the default of the pure file serving connections. And during a security release, we try to avoid behavior changes as much as we can. So we didn't touch the file serving part and only changed the IPC connections. And we also are using SMB3 there by default now, where for SMB we still use NT1, so SMB1 as a default. This hopefully changes in one of the next releases, but changing that as part of a security release was not a good idea. So this is improved now. So in order to prevent all these man-in-the-middle attacks, we had the choice either implement new options but don't change the behavior, and then anybody installing the security update would hope to be protected, but in fact weren't. So we, given the huge amount of patches we had, we introduced new options and also made the defaults secure, and administrators who want to work around the limitations with compatibility with old servers need to change the smb.conf parameters, but the default is protected now. So we had this for the allow RPC auth level connect. This is a protection for the backlog bug. Then the client IPC signing and protocol things. For the LDAP server, we now require integrity protection. We don't allow raw Intel MV2 auth, where the client supplies the so-called target info blob, which includes the server name. And when the client provides that, or the attacker would provide that, then the domain controller has no chance to avoid the spoofing attacks. And also recent Windows versions don't allow that, so we are doing the same now by default. The TLS verify peer option is also secure now, and we verify certificates. And then we also had a TLS priority option, which was already in 4.3 and 4.4, but not in 4.2. This is basically disabling unsecure TLS dialects like SSL v3 and TLS1 or something like that. Yeah, we also needed to. Oh, Jeremy, I forgot to check that. Sorry. So basically, when an RPC client provides a binding string, which is the description of the RPC endpoint, if it uses IPTCP, so unprotected, we are now requiring RPC level integrity checks. This is basically a similar protection to when you're using named pipes of SMB and using SMB Integrity Protection. So the default is now integrity protected. Then we avoided some downgrade attacks to old, really old SMB1 dialects, unless the, we intentionally want to use Landmine Auth, which is based on death hashing of passwords, converted to uppercase before. So when using client NTLMv2 auth and also asking for extended security or SPNego for SMB1 connections, we now require that and don't allow downgrades in order to avoid raw NTLMv2.
So requiring SPNego, I understand what the point is there, but now in situations where there happens to be one old server that doesn't support SPNego but has NTLMv2.
Yes.
So now you can't use...
You can.
Well, you have to know, you have to, the from the client side, now you have to know what the server supports, because you can't, if you say that you want to allow SPNego from the client, on the client side,
yeah,
then you can't connect to that other server that has raw and only has raw NTLMv2, unless you then just now keep a knowledge of which servers have which.
Yeah, but...
So we don't have an... I mean, there is no option to say, well, try to use SPNego.
Currently not. We could implement the three-stage thing where we had no, auto, and yes, but still defaulting to yes, but currently we only have no and yes. But if you want to connect to an old server, you should better know about it, and then you can just use on the command line the dash dash option parameter to override this
right.
For just this server.
Just something to be aware of. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I know.
All my customers are complaining about that.
Then we had the client LDAP SSL wrapping option, which were available for the older tools, the net command or the winbind code, but the LDB tools didn't use that before, and now all client code uses this. Then, as I mentioned before, we reported the bedlock bug to Microsoft. And after some initial communication problems, we had some face-to-face meeting in Redmond when we were at the FCC and later at an interop event at Microsoft. And from then I had regular conf calls with the Microsoft security team, and we worked together in order to find possible solutions about it. I proposed a very simple approach in order to fix the urgent problems. And yeah, we also discussed some more advanced changes, but they didn't pass regression tests on Windows and would make things more complicated than needed in order to get the urgent problem out of our way. So after some back and forth, we agreed on a release day, April 12th, 2016, this time. And we plan to continue the discussion regarding more advanced solutions and improving the protocols. And I already have some ideas in order to improve RPC a bit more, similar to the mechanisms used in SMB3 in order to prevent downgrades and things like that. But we will continue in the next months with the discussion there. Then we had the coordination with other vendors which are shipping Samba. So as a December team, we only have the resources to provide security fixes for three maintained branches. Currently, these are 4.4, 4.3, and 4.2. And giving the amount of changes required for this backlog release. So for 4.4.2, we had 323 patches on top of 4.4.0. The thing with 4.4.1 was that we created the 4.4.1 tarball about 2 weeks before release in order to get vendors to test it and build their packages. And a few days before release, we found a regression and did new releases. So 4.4.1 was released, but at the same day as 4.4.2. So everybody should use 4.4.2. Or some vendors have a 4.4.1 in the version, but applied the patch separately. So the diff was, as you see, about, about 15,000 insertions, 5,000 deletions, 227 files changed. So really, really huge security update. Typically, we have just under 50 lines changed and maybe two files or so. But given the fact that this weren't just simple logic bugs in order to crash the server, we had real protocol bugs which required some rewrite and more advanced testing. We ended up with such a huge number of changes. For 4.3, we had to backport some patches which were already in 4.4. So there are about 30 patches more on top of the old 4.3.6. And yeah, some more files changed. And for 4.2, we had even 440 patches, so about 90 patches more compared to 4.3. And yeah, almost 17,000 and something lines inserted and 7,500 deletions. Given the huge amount of changes, we at Cernet thought it would be a good thing to inform the public before about the target release date so that people could be prepared, allocate resources in order to update and debug potential problems. So Cernet created the badlog.org website in order to provide a central location for information about all these changes. Yeah, as said before, there are vendors shipping Samba as part of their product, all the Linux distributions, but also NAS vendors and others. And they obviously need the source patches and releases before in order to prepare. And as some of the distributions and vendors require backports to older versions, we had some conference calls and discussions within the Samba team in order to provide backports for the most critical things, because backporting everything would mean that, I'm not sure, but I guess about 200 patches between 4.2 and 4.1 would be required or so, and that was simply too much for myself to provide, and then some people like Ralph, Andreas and Günther provided backports for the things for 3.6 and 4.0. And in 3.6 and so in 3.6 we already only had the NT4 style domain controller and the file server components, so all Active Directory parts are not there. That means we would not have to backport all Active Directory related changes. So it's much less changes for the 3.6 patch set, and for 4.0 we only backported the file server related things which are in a similar scope. Given the publicity on the backlog bug, also other vendors contacted us in order to get information about the problem before the release, and Jeremy coordinated that and talked to Apple, EMC, NetApp, Oracle and others in order to give them enough information to decide if they need to do anything or not. I guess in most situations or some vendors didn't implement SMB signing or so, and they didn't care about anything there, so they didn't need to do anything, but that's their choice. So given the impact of this bug, and we were not the only one affected, we were very paranoid and avoided plain text emails or comments in our Baxilla, and only provided information via encrypted email and encrypted downloads. So, yeah, some details on the final sprint before the release. Between June 2015 and February 2016, I spent about 3 person months on security problems. Mostly alone, but with some very great help from Günther. He really reviewed every backlog-related patch and all the prerequisite patches. That was very helpful to have someone to discuss with. Then the final sprint, somehow I managed to work about 2 person months during March. My aim was to provide the patches to vendors as fast as possible, and the idea was to have the 3 weeks before, similar to the public announcement about the release day, but it took a bit longer unexpectedly, but I made it ready and reviewed 12 days before the public release, and we had a lot of, after the public release date announcement, the thing was, I sent mails about the problems, or that there is a problem, to the whole SAMBA team, but only the details in encrypted form to some selected people in the first time. But I announced that if someone is interested, come and send me a mail and ask for more information via encrypted mail. But before the public announcement, I got zero feedback from not invited people before. And after this announcement, I had about 15 mails. Oh, give me the details, I want to hear anything about it. And given that we had regular conf calls and much regression testing from other people testing the work I've made, got a review for the CVE description text and other things. So, yeah, sadly, we had some regressions. In Samba, we have a test suite called AutoBuild, which runs several thousand tests before each check-in, and we are also able to do private builds, so that we can test security releases. We also had a lot of testing from QA teams from Red Hat to the InSurNet, which found some regressions before the final release, but also some regressions after. So after the security release, we had some trouble with guest access, so we were too strict with our security, which had impact on Apple clients and servers, and also in some scenarios without using WinBind, we weren't able to contact the domain controller because we did anonymous SMB connection as transport. These were fixed in a release on May 2nd. And just a few days ago, we got reports about NTLM auth crashes. One issue is already fixed, one is still debugged. And I hope there won't be any more regressions. Some outlook to the future, as I said before, regarding the RPC security. I have some ideas in order to implement something that is backward compatible in order to avoid breaking existing implementations and applications. As said before, this will be discussed with Microsoft, and hopefully we can implement the same. We also plan to disable NTLM V1 by default in the next release, 4.6, and add similar options in order to disable NTLM SSP completely, similar to the options on Windows. On Windows, there's also the feature called Kerberos Fast with armoring, and there the authentication of a user, which is typically just protected by the user password, which is not so strong in most cases. This is secured by tunneling this through an encrypted connection using the machine password of the domain member server. And yeah, we always try to find other ways to improve Samba security. Then many thanks to these people and others, everybody who helped with it. Here are some URLs where you can find more information. And the second link contains some information about workarounds with older servers, which options need to change in the configuration in order to be able to talk to older servers. Yes, that's it from my side. Any questions?
Thank you first. So, given the time, I would allow just one question and then move the remaining discussion to the lunch break, which is right up. I guess it's you then.
I win the prize. Okay. You mentioned you would force signing for IPC dollar traffic.
Yes.
And I mean, Microsoft has always wanted to do that. The problem is anonymous IPC requests or anonymous requests, right, flowing over that channel. Where there's no secret, there's no signing possible.
Yeah.
That requires disabling many of your anonymous RPCs. Is that?
No, the key is I require SMB signing as a client when I know I'm authenticating with a user.
When authenticating.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
And anonymous is still possible, but only when the client really asks for anonymous. So If the intention on the client side is use anonymous, then we're fine, we're ignoring signing. But when we provide a username and password, we require signing.
Is that related to the problem you reported with Apple and Samba 442?
Yes.
Was Apple sending anonymous requests, for instance, and expecting them to succeed?
Not completely. The thing is more, I don't completely remember what the details
were. I was just surprised when you said you fixed it. I don't know how you fix an interoperability problem unless it's actually a bug.
The problem, one problem was that when we are using anonymous connections, before we were using really anonymous, where we had an empty username and an empty NT response.
Right.
But due to the large changes we had, we changed that to send an empty username, but also with the NTLMB2 blob based on an empty password instead of an empty blob.
Ah, okay.
And that
a
was
null password, an empty string. Yeah.
And
that
was a regression there. And now we just send an empty user, an empty password.
So an argument change, if you will, but not. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And also, when we have the option, we have an option map to guest equals bad user. I think Windows 10 has something similar. We had some reports that SMB client doesn't work against Windows 10 boxes with this don't require user and allow guest access.
Yeah, I mean, we have any number of subtle failures to succeed. Yeah. And frustratingly, we have to turn a lot of these aggressive changes off as a result.
That's... I thought about it on our server side, where we, when we have this option set, we disable this new NTLM SSP features with the checksumming, but we didn't expect clients to use it anyway. And the Apple client seems to ignore what the server provides and always provides these new features.
Yeah.
And then we needed to handle this thing at a different layer in order to work around problems.
Okay, well, thank you, Stefan.